Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, August 2, 2022, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That manna from heaven, that spiritual food, that enables us to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, how's it working out? I recently saw a handsome young man during what should be a fantastic period of his life. But he did not look happy. In fact, he looked as if he had never known actual happiness. The only passions in his face were those of anger and frustration. I looked around, and what I had seen in him was not unique to his youth. People of all ages were looking haggard, angry, beaten, and frustrated. Everyone seemed to be struggling just to cope with that moment of life. Our generation laughs at God and his rules for living. They act like God is a spoil sport or an old fuddy-duddy. They don't seem to understand that God's rules are for our benefit and that of our children. God loves us, but as we stray further from Him, we become more and more miserable. How is America's anti-God lifestyle working out? Go to a mall or even an amusement park Those places are supposed to be fun. Yet most of the people there are not happy. And they are a million miles from actual joy. Sadness has crept into everything. People walk around like dogs who have been physically abused, heads lowered, waiting for the next blow. How did this happen? We live in a time of extraordinary convenience and personal power. Just look at our phones. I was at the doctor's office today. I was in there with about seven other people. Every one of them on their phone, not talking on the phone, but, you know, texting and this. Everyone except me, and I don't have a phone, and I don't want one. Today, when a child is born, there's a phone attached to his umbilical cord. The world is just set up for the Antichrist. He'll be talking to them, texting to them, talking to them. They'll get it direct from the Antichrist. Right? Everybody has. He'll be talking to them, giving him all of his garbage, and they'll buy it. They won't go to a Bible teaching church and worship the Lord, but they all have phones. And these phones act as personal assistants. More and more, the phones tell you what you should do. They give instant access to worlds of information. Supposedly, they make life easier, saving us from vast amounts of time. But when do we get to see the benefit of those hours saved? And are we happier? We live in a world of addictions. Video games, thought of as merely high-tech toys, quickly turn into obsessions. Alcohol and recreational drugs promise to open up the essence of life itself. Yet, over time, they become the walls of ever-shrinking prison cells. It started with calling good evil and evil good. And soon the meaning of everything changed. Our scientific, educational, and medical institutions teach concepts that earlier generations would call crazy. People find it harder and harder to think straight about the simplest things. Someone dies by suicide every 11 minutes in the United States of America alone. Every 11 minutes. And according to Western Michigan University, it is generally estimated that there are 25 attempts for one death of suicide. But even though most attempts fail, twice as many people die by suicide than by homicide across the world. Our society has figuratively wadded up the Bible and thrown it in the trash. Yet it still contains the words of life and happiness. Through His Word, God gives release from bondage, brings healing to the soul, and breathes life into our beings. Even so, an increasing number of churches, avoid it. Everything goes on in church except the teaching of the Word of God. Even so, an increasing number of churches avoid it, as if it makes them ashamed. Are you ashamed of God? Are you ashamed of the Word of God? Are you ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed to stand up for the truth of the Word of God? Most Christians are ashamed. More than ever before, we need to proclaim God's Word without shame, without hesitancy. This parched, drought-stricken world needs streams of living water. In John 7:37 and 38, Jesus declared, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." At such a time as this, may we say with Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." The whole world needs the power of God to salvation. And that need has never been more urgent than now. All right, Joel 1, we have gotten as far as halfway through verse 2. Joel 1:1, "The word of the Lord, which divine revelation came to Joel, the son of Pethuel." Verse 2, "Hear this, you elders, and be motivated to listen, all you inhabitants of the land." Now, Joel asks a rhetorical question. This rhetorical question anticipates an emphatic negative response. Nothing in the experience of Joel's generation or that of their ancestors was able to match the magnitude of the present economic disaster that had happened in the southern kingdom Judah. This was the greatest of all economic disasters. "Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers?" This rhetorical question is introduced by the interrogative "hey," prefixed to the calperfect of "hayah," plus the demonstrative pronoun "zoth," plus the prepositional phrase "baith," prefixed to the noun "yom" with the second person plural masculine suffix. We start out with the interrogative. Looks like that. That's H-E. Not he, but hey. And it's an interrogative. It's translated "has." Asked the question. Then the verb "hayah." H-A-Y-A-H. Hayah. This is the Hebrew "to be" verb, which is really very versatile. It sometimes means to be or to become or to come to pass or to happen. In our verse, it means to happen. The Cal Perfect says that this locust invasion and subsequent economic disaster has already occurred. They're right in the middle of it. The demonstrative pronoun zoth means this. The preposition baith prefix to yom with the second person plural masculine suffix is in your days. So literally, this says, has this happened in your days? This is an idiom. And you bring this idiom across this way. Has anything like this ever occurred in your lifetime? And then it demands the answer, no, it has not. Has anything like this ever occurred in your lifetime? Demanding the answer, no. And then we have the conjunction vav prefixed to the interrogative particle im, plus the preposition baith prefixed to the plural construct of yom, plus the plural of the noun av, with the second person plural masculine suffix. The conjunction vav here is used in the meaning or, correctly translated or. This time we have a different interrogative particle. This is the interrogative particle im. Aleph, I, am, im. And im asks the question has or has, and then we have the preposition baith, plus the construct of yom, which means in the days of, in the days of. And then the plural of the noun of, with the second person plural masculine suffix, your fathers or your ancestors. Literally this says, or in the days of your fathers. This is an idiom that says, or has anything like this ever occurred in the lifetime of your ancestors? Once again, this demands the answer no. So we have in corrected translation of verse 2. Hear this, you elders, and be motivated to listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever occurred in your lifetime? No. Or has anything like this ever occurred in the lifetime of your ancestors? No. See, this is very powerful. This is how he starts out. They're under the five cycles of national discipline. The Southern Kingdom is in apostasy. The United States of America is in apostasy. You haven't seen anything yet. But it's getting greater and greater, and the discipline's getting greater and greater. And in apostasy, what's the problem? The people are not interested in God or the Word of God. That's why that was the perfect thing to introduce by Hal Lindsey. This country is throwing the Bible in the trash can. The Word of God doesn't mean a thing. In fact, they think the Word of God, if you're a Christian, you're doing nothing but committing hate crimes. Hate crimes. They accuse God of hate crimes. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. From that absolute righteousness comes what is right and what is wrong. He defines his integrity, his virtue, defines what sin is. Whatever the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. And in our country, if you stand up and teach the absolute truth of the gospel, there's only one Savior. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. If you say that the other religions of the world are not equal with Christianity, that there are many, many ways to heaven, well, you are committing hate crimes against all those other religions of the world. And ultimately, what they're really saying is God is committing hate crimes. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. No other name under heaven by which men must be saved. He is the only Savior. All the religions of the world are satanic counterfeits. Satan taking God's salvation plan is Operation Grace. Operation Grace. It emphasizes who and what God is. All the religions of the world emphasize who and what you are. What you do. And none of those religions can bring anyone to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely impossible. Are you ashamed to say that Jesus Christ is the only Savior? Are you ashamed to proclaim the absolute truth of the gospel? All the religions of the world are satanic. Absolutely satanic. And all those who follow them will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible defines what sin is. The Bible defines that homosexuality and lesbianism is a sin. And we now, it's not just homosexuality and lesbianism. I can't remember all the letters. L, B, C, D, A through Z. God created the divine institution of marriage. God created the man from the man's rib. He created the woman. He created the divine institution of marriage between one man and one woman. And all throughout the Word of God, it points out that homosexuality and lesbianism is an evil, degenerate degeneracy. All you have to do is look at Sodom and Gomorrah. And right now in the United States of America, we are trying our damnedest to become Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you say that that's a sin, then you're committing a hate crime. No, you're not. You're not committing a hate crime. God loved the whole world, so He sent His Son to pay the penalty for all the world's sins. Anyone who believes in Christ has the gift of eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, a personal relationship with the living and true God forever and ever and ever. We all sin. We come into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. We come into the world with Adam's original sin imputed to the old sin nature, the genetically formed old sin nature. We come into the world in spiritual death. Because we come into the world in spiritual death, we sin. That's the result of our spiritual death. In all different categories, we commit sin, human good, and evil because we are in the status of spiritual death. The first Adam gave us spiritual death. The last Adam gives us justification, eternal salvation by faith in him, in his work on the cross. Hear this, you elders, and be motivated to listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever occurred in your lifetime? No. Or has anything like this ever occurred in the lifetime of your ancestors? No. One, verse 2 tells us that this was the greatest economic disaster that had ever hit the southern kingdom of Judah. Verse 2 tells us that this was the greatest economic disaster that had ever hit the southern kingdom of Judah. Two, this economic disaster came by way of a locust invasion. They lived in a time of an agricultural economy. And this locust invasion, the greatest one ever, of this magnitude, had never occurred before in Judah. The locust invasion of this magnitude had never occurred before in Judah. Three, this is divine judgment from the justice of God. Divine justice. Divine judgment from the justice of God. Four, this is the part of the five cycles of national discipline taught by Moses in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 to 39. We've studied those five cycles of national discipline several times. We'll probably be teaching it again in the process of the book of Joel. But this is a part of the five cycles of national discipline, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 to 39. And the United States of America right now is going through the five cycles of national discipline as the client nation to God. Now in verse 3, Joel gives a third command. This third command is directed to the parents. To the parents in Judah, and of course it applies to parents in the United States of America, Christian parents. Joel 1 verse 3. Tell ye your children of it. That's the King James. tell ye. This is the preposition al. Old prepositionality, he became a deacon in the Upland Bible Church. That's better than being negative al. There's negative al and preposition. You'd rather be prepositional. This is the preposition al with the third person singular suffix plus the preposition lameth, prefixed to the plural of the noun bane with the second person plural masculine suffix, and the pal imperative of the verb sofer. That's S-A-P-H-A-R. Sofer. All right, a couple of things on sofer. One, in the Cal stem, it literally means to count things, to learn their number, to take account of, to carefully observe and consider. That's the Cal stem. Two, in the Nifal stem, which is the passive of the Cal stem, it means to be counted or to be numbered. But we don't have either one. We don't have the Cal stem. We don't have the Nifal stem. Three, in the Pal stem, which is what we have, it means to recount something, to declare, to teach. This is the stem we have, PL stem. To recount something, to declare, to teach. Four, the PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. Intensively teach about this economic disaster to your children. The preposition al with the third person singular suffix means about it. About it is the locust invasion that has brought about this economic disaster. About it, concerning it. And then the preposition lamath that's El Shaval, lamath. Translated to, it introduces the indirect object. The indirect object are the ones in whose interest and benefit something is taught. Bain is the second person plural masculine suffix, literally your sons, your children. So the corrected translation, intensively teach your children, the next generation about it, this economic disaster, this locust invasion. And you know, today, this has been all kinds of studies have been pointed out that the next generation is not being taught the grace and truth of the Word of God. If they're going to a church, they're going there for entertainment. Guitars, drums, you name it. All kinds of social action and social gospel. But not the grace and truth of the Word of God. And now we got the next generation of Christians, and they hate Israel. They're anti-Semitic. They think Israel's the problem. How do they get that? Because they're not being taught grace and truth. And that's the United States of America in the next generation. We are toast as a nation. Intensively teach your children about it. And let your children tell their children. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the plural noun bane, with the second person plural suffix, plus the preposition lamath, prefix to the plural noun bane, with the third person plural suffix. Literally, this says, and your children to their children. That's literally. You got to understand, Joel is excited now. I kind of got excited there for a minute, almost drained my vocal cords. I'm right along with Joel here. How do we know that Joel is shouting? Because he left out the verb safer and he left out the preposition al by ellipsis. When you get into shouting or excited, you leave things out. They have to be supplied in the translation. It's just like when you were growing up. At least when I was growing up. First time my mother would say, Rich, go get the garbage and take it out and put it in the garbage can. But I just sit there. It's called selective hearing. I heard it, but we weren't quite to the shouting stage. Then she did it a second time, the third time, and then, now get that garbage out! Then you better get the garbage out. What did you do? What did Mom do? She just left out about four or five of the words that she started out with. Why? She's excited. And I got out before I got my pants paddled. Of course, my mom couldn't really paddle very, very well. My, you know, bless her heart, I had the greatest mother She was a Christian from the get-go in our household. She was the only Christian for quite a while. But she couldn't paddle. Now my dad, great. He was athletic, great timing, great follow-through. And it wasn't a deal of paddle, boom, 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 boom. No. It was just kaboom. After about three orbits, come back down, feet would touch down, crying and run into the house. I wasn't crying because it hurt. I was crying because I love my dad very, very much, and I didn't want to do something where he would be upset with me. I was more crying because of my own bad decisions. Well, this is Joel shouting. The verb saphir has been left out by ellipsis, along with the preposition al. And let your children... So we have to supply those in the translation to smooth out the translation. And let your children intensively teach, saphir, their children about it, preposition al. And let your children intensively teach their children about it. And then we have, and their children another generation. And this is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the plural bain, with the third person plural suffix, plus the preposition lamath, prefixed to the noun door, modified by the adjective acher. So, Hebrew just takes one thing and prefixes it to another one and prefixes it to another one and make just one word. I love this thing. So when I say, well, you know what? I'm going to write that up there because I don't want you to miss something so fantastic. There's the conjunction vav. Conjunction vav. And then that's prefixed to b'nei, u b'nei, this is your sons. So this, and it's right now, it's still one word, and then him. And their children. Okay? Isn't that, and it's just one word. And their children. Just one word. Ubenahem. Ubenahem. Okay, it didn't turn you on. Okay. Well, it did. I turned me on. Ubenahem, yeah. One word in the Hebrew, and it's and their children. And then door. D-O-R, door. And this is the Hebrew word generation. And it's modified by the adjective acher. Aleph, A-C-H-E-R, acher. And acher means literally another, but in our verse it means following or next, with the preposition lamath to the next generation. So the corrected translation, and let their children intensively teach the next generation about it. So verses Joel 1:1-3. The word of the Lord, which divine revelation came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, first command. Second command, and be motivated to listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever occurred in your lifetime? No. Or has anything like this ever occurred in the lifetime of your ancestors? No. Then verse 3, the third command, intensively teach your children about it, and let your children intensively teach their children about it, and let their children intensively teach the next generation about it. So, three mandates in the first three verses. Hear this, you elders. Be motivated to listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Intensively teach your children about it. All right, one. The southern kingdom, Judah, is in apostasy and national degeneracy. The southern kingdom, Judah, is in apostasy and national degeneracy. But so is the United States of America right now. I can't believe... I just get sick watching TV. And the commercials? I enjoy watching... Golf seems to be more conservative than most anything else, sometimes hockey. But when I watch golf and enjoying the golf, then they take an advertisement. And I know there's going to be trouble here in the advertisement because there's a rainbow in what, Verbo. And it always winds up with two lesbians kissing each other at the end of it, or two homosexuals kissing at the end of it. Makes me sick. And that's what's on TV for the whole nation to see, for children to see. Evil, satanic. Satanic to the core. And we got children watching that rather than parents teaching them the Word of God, grace and truth. We are a sick, sick, sick society. And it's being broadcast all over our nation all the time. 24/7. Never stops. Evil, 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 satanic, all the way through. In direct contradiction to God and the absolute truth of the Word of God. The southern kingdom, Judah, is in apostasy and national degeneracy. Two, they have come under national judgment from the righteousness and justice of God. God's integrity, God's virtue. They have come under national judgment from the righteousness and justice of God. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. They have come under national judgment from the righteousness and justice of God. Three, they have come under the five cycles of national discipline. Leviticus 26, 14 to 39. They have come under the five cycles of national discipline. Leviticus 26, verses 14 to 39. Four, they are facing great historical crisis and national disaster. They are facing great historical crisis and national disaster. We are in a recession right now in America, and what is the administration doing? Spending more and more and more and more. Recession will be depression. They are facing great historical crisis and national disaster. Five, their problem is a spiritual problem. And their only hope is a spiritual solution. And the only hope for America is a spiritual solution. Joel 1:3, intensively teach your children about it. And let your children intensively teach their children about it. And let their children intensively teach the next generation about it. Now, had already done the exegesis and have all this done about 6 months ago. But by the way, if you ever come here and you think I'm talking about you in the verse today, it was 6 months ago. It has nothing to do with you. I studied all this 6 months ago. And I wasn't thinking 6 months ago, well, let's see, 6 months down the road, this person might be there and this person. No. It's God the Holy Spirit going right to your soul and presenting this as truth. Sometimes he goes to your soul and he makes it clear you're 100% wrong. That's God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it goes to your soul and encourages you. Their problem is a spiritual problem, and their only hope is a spiritual solution. Sixth, to recover from apostasy, they must turn back to God and the Word of God. To recover from national apostasy, they must turn back to God and to the Word of God. And that's the only hope that America has. And as I was looking at verse 3 before preparing for teaching tonight, I was thinking also about what's coming up here this Saturday, August 6th, this Saturday, the evangelism team is going to Child Haven. These are children, and the ones that they're going to present the gospel to this Saturday are preschoolers. And my heart goes out to these kids. These kids, they're not blessed with wonderful parents. And they're there, and when the evangelism team, and this is twice in a month, they've invited us there two times in a month. And the last time, the kids, their heart was prepared by God, and many of those kids will be in heaven forever and ever and ever. And I've been here 45 years, and the evangelism team was set up shortly after we got here. And the gospel, they have gone all over Las Vegas, all over Henderson, all over Boulder City, out at Indian Springs. And over that 45 years, there will be so many people in heaven as a result of that. And that is fulfilling Joel 1 verse 3. Intensively teach your children about it. And let your children intensively teach their children about it. And let their children intensively teach the next generation about it. Pray for our evangelism team that they'll be channels of God's grace, tools in His hand, that they'll proclaim the grace gospel clearly and accurately, and that God will prepare the hearts of those children and the adults, and that He might use it to bring many, many sons into glory. It's been going on again and again and again and again, and it's certainly exactly what we need right now. There's nothing more important than that. So again, point six, to recover from apostasy, they must turn back to God and the Word of God. Seven, there must be a spiritual revival. And a very important part of any spiritual revival is teaching the grace gospel and grace and truth of God's Word to the children. The children are the next generation. There must be a spiritual revival, and a very important part of any spiritual revival is teaching the grace gospel and the grace and truth of God's Word to the children, the next generation. Eight, The greatest heritage that you can pass on to your children is Bible doctrine, not money. You think you're helping your children by giving them money? They have nothing. If that's all you give your children, they have not a damn thing. You think giving them money, giving them material thing, giving them material wealth, they have nothing, absolutely nothing, if that's all you've given. I feel sorry for you, I feel sorry for them. The greatest heritage you can pass on to your children is Bible doctrine. 9. When Bible doctrine is passed on from one generation to the next generation, then you have great national stability and prosperity. When Bible doctrine is passed on from one generation to the next generation, then you have great national stability and prosperity. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, "One generation will intensively teach with praise your works." That's the Lord Jesus Christ's works to the next generation, and will be motivated to proclaim your mighty acts. What is that saying? One, the mighty acts of our Lord Jesus Christ are declared from one generation to the next generation. The mighty acts of our Lord Jesus Christ are declared from one generation to the next generation. Two, this verse is fulfilled when parents teach their children the Word of God so that they can grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse is fulfilled when parents teach their children the Word of God so they can grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They teach our Lord's work on the cross. The salvation work of Christ on the cross, Operation Grace. They teach His works of judgment and discipline for apostasy and reversionism. They teach His works of blessing through His grace pipeline to us in the church age. So they teach our Lord's work on the cross, His salvation work. They teach His works of judgment and discipline for apostasy and reversionism. They teach His works of blessing. In our dispensation, that grace pipeline encapsulated by the integrity of God. And why are we encapsulated by the integrity of God? So God can bless us. 3, each generation must pass on to the next generation the absolute truth of the Word of God. Establishment truth, which is for both believer and unbeliever. Gospel truth for the unbeliever. Doctrinal truth for the believer. Each generation must pass on to the next generation the absolute truth of the Word of God. So Joel 1 to 3 again. The word of the Lord, which divine revelation came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. First command, hear this, you elders. And then second command, and be motivated to listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever occurred in your lifetime? No. Or has anything like this ever occurred in the lifetime of your ancestors? No. Command number 3, verse 3. Intensively teach your children about it. And let your children intensively teach their children about it. And let their children intensively teach the next generation about it. So in verses 2 and 3, we have 3 commands to a nation in apostasy. An apostate generation. Hear this. Be motivated to listen to this. Intensively teach this to your children. Keep on teaching this from generation to generation so that the spiritual lessons and doctrine and principles taught here may be learned by every generation. One, the three mandates of verses 2 and 3 tell us that Joel is ministering to the client nation to God, the southern kingdom of Judah, while they are in apostasy. The three mandates of verses 2 and 3 tell us that Joel is ministering to the client nation to God, Judah, the southern kingdom, while it is in apostasy. Two, an apostate generation does not hear Bible doctrine, is not motivated to listen and obey Bible doctrine, does not teach Bible doctrine to their children. An apostate generation does not hear Bible doctrine, is not mentioned to listen, motivated to listen and obey Bible doctrine, and does not teach Bible doctrine to their children. Three, parents should be teaching their children about God. And this includes the grace gospel, Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, as well as the essence of God, who and what God is, His attributes, His essence, His sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. Teach the principle that when individuals or nations reject God and the Word of God and live their lives independent of God and His Word, that divine discipline will come to both the individual and the nation. That is what Joel's, that's how he's starting out, because they're about ready to come under divine discipline. Teach the principle that when individuals or nations reject God and His Word and live their lives independent of God and independent of His Word, that divine discipline will come to both the individual and the nation. What a way to start out a book. Notice he doesn't start out and say, I love you all. You're doing such a wonderful job. Just great. All that you're doing. Here we are in God's client nation. No, how does he start out? Mandate. Hear this. Be motivated to listen to this. Intensively teach this to your children. I just think those are probably the best first three verses in any book in the Bible. And right now in the United States of America, that's the first three verses that ought to be taught everywhere, all over America, right now. This is what we need. The same thing that the southern kingdom needed in the time of Joel. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.